In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who didst instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever joyous in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our Lady, Queen of the Angels, St. Joseph, St. Ignatius, Father Bruno Lanteri, all God's angels and saints, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good morning. Thought that Father Victor gave an excellent homily, but he made one mistake. He said that I am the master of the spiritual exercises. It's the Holy Spirit. I'm a humble servant. So this day will be dedicated to principle and foundation. Okay, there's so much to be said, so I'll try to be as succinct as possible. But given that we'll be talking about the two standards later on, one of the big dangers in principle and foundation for you people is this. Well, I've been with Father Broom for 15 years. I know that. And that's a temptation for all of us. So I know that, no? I know that. Well, I think you do. We're listening to Fulton Sheen, and Fulton Sheen in one of his talks says, growing in holiness does not depend so much upon learning new things, but assimilating in our heart the things that we already know. In other words, to go from your mind into your heart, that's the biggest journey we have to make. And we have to make that journey in these exercises, to go from the intellect to the heart. That's why I insist upon the Holy Spirit, relying upon the Holy Spirit to be our guide. So we'll spend the whole day on principle and foundation. So my first talk I'll be giving just on basically one key concept, one word basically. And it's this, that we are created. We're created. So as you enter into your meditations, last time I gave the exercise about 4 years ago, every meditation I started off by giving you a brief catechesis on prayer. So I'd like to do that again. So what I'd like to do is I want to give you a prayer method. A prayer method is not the end, but it's a means to the end. But it's always a good idea to have methods in our lives. Okay, so I'm going to give you some ideas. Have a prayer method so you can enter into the flow. Always start off your prayer period by praying to Mary. Well, we start off by saying a Hail Mary and ask Mary to direct your prayer. Has Mary ever failed you? She never failed me. And she never will fail any of us if we place ourselves in her hands and her heart. Then ask your spiritual guide to help you. Ask the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans, so we can say, Abba, which means daddy, Abba, papi. So these are integral parts of part of your prayer period. Sometimes we don't pray well because we don't do these, so to speak, warm-up exercises. I used to be an athlete. I know this. Before getting out on the ball field, you got to warm up. Otherwise, you'll pull a muscle. You'll be out for a month. So we have to warm up to prayer. So these introductory steps are important. So you pray to Mary, pray the Holy Spirit. And then you might, with the young Samuel in the temple, speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. Beautiful prayer. Most of us are kind of like the Martha of the Gospel last Sunday. Listen, O Lord, for your servant is speaking, right? Well, it has to be both. Because prayer is a dialogue, it's not a monologue, right? Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. Listen, O Lord, for your servant is speaking. There should be an interplay of both. Then we're going to be giving you this year, instead of giving handouts, I'm just going to be giving you biblical verses and let the Bible speak. Let the Word of God speak. He's much more eloquent than Father Broom. Let the Word of God speak to you. So you're going to be reading through the Word of God. I'm going to be giving you biblical verses. But recognize, when you're reading the Bible, God is really speaking to you. As the poet said, it's a letter of love. God is speaking to you. You got to believe that in faith. If you had a really good friend speaking to you, hopefully you're going to pay attention. Otherwise, that's kind of rude, right? What about God speaking to us? Shouldn't we pay even more attention? You got a good friend, you're paying attention. God speaking to us, even more so, because of the dignity of the person, the triune God. Then when you're reading through the biblical text, there's always going to be a general meaning. Father Victor said, okay, the first reading, the second reading, the first reading, the gospel reading, okay, the importance of humility and prayer of intercession, okay? That's a general interpretation of Genesis as well as the gospel of the Our Father today. We've got to be humble. We have to ask the Lord, like Abraham, right? That's the general meaning. But then there's the personal meaning. All of you are different. You are loved into existence. You're all different. You're loved into existence. So all of you have your different culture, family upbringing, your own wounds, me too, your own situation right now. All of you are, as the philosopher says, you're a microcosm. It's a big Greek word, right? You're our little world. We're all different. So your interpretation is going to be different from the person next to you. That's why St. Faustina says that God works in every soul in a different way. We're all like a fingerprint. You know, there's no same fingerprint in the world. If you ever have a chance to go to the East Coast where I'm from, the snowflake, every snowflake has a different pattern. California, never seen snow, but believe me, has a different pattern. We're all like a snowflake. We're all like a fingerprint. We're all unique, loved into existence, but very important. As the poet says, God created you from a mold, he threw that mold away, and he never made another mold just like that. Okay, then from your own personal interpretation, there should be a personal application. You want to be able to put the Word of God into practice. It may not be right now in the retreat, but during the course of the retreat, it's always a good idea to already think about what are certain things that God's going to challenge me to do to help me to become a more holy person. Be open to these inspirations. Then, after you finish your hour, and I would strongly encourage you, every time you do your meditation, you know, there's no hurry. Give yourself an hour, okay? Give yourself an hour. It takes a while to warm up. Give yourself an hour. This morning I was an hour and a half, and I wanted to be, as Father Victor was saying, I didn't want to leave the Lord, but I had to get here for Mass, no? But I was in a good hour and a half. It was almost... I want to spend a good 2 hours with the Lord at the beginning of the day. So hopefully you want to spend more and more time with the Lord. Okay, now, most of you know our dynamic. You all are designed a spiritual director for the retreat. And we're really blessed because we've got a lot of really good spiritual directors. Okay, last time I gave the retreat, there were about 70 of us. Now there's about 52, so there's a little bit less, and you've got your spiritual director. So what are you going to do with your spiritual director? After you finish your meditation, you spend time writing down how God spoke to you. You hear me? And so when you meet your spiritual director, you're not just going to be staring at your spiritual director. Okay, kind of staring, huh? But rather you got your four or five revisions or meditations to go through. Okay, here's another danger. We as Americans tend to be very cerebral. That's part of the American chemistry. We tend to be cerebral. Okay, the exercises are not so much cerebral. You may have the tendency to read it and write down your theological, catechetical interpretation of it. Okay, that's what some people do. There's nothing wrong with theology, nothing wrong with catechetics, but you don't want to be simply doing a theological interpretation of the text, but rather, how did God speak to you? You got me? Okay, how did God speak to you? As Cardinal Newman defines prayer, cor et lector in Latin, is the heart-to-heart dialogue between the heart of Christ in your heart. So you want to make sure it's not simply an intellectual experience, but it's a heart-to-heart dialogue with the Lord. How did God speak to you? So if the revisions are done well, if it's done well, then the spiritual direction is going to be much easier for the spiritual director as well as for you. So you go to spiritual director kind of staring at your director. No, you've got your revisions. Not to say you can't... I always prefer if you can speak spontaneously rather than read it from your book, but you have material before your eyes in which you're able to go through how God has been speaking to you. Okay? So I thought I would start off my presentation giving you an orientation and how to pray. And maybe you've heard this 1,000 times, but just listen to it once more, okay? Set the stage. Okay. Now, I'm going to be commenting briefly upon one idea of principle and foundation. And honestly, I believe we could give this whole retreat just on principle and foundation. I believe the whole retreat could be based on this one foundational principle that Ignatius has given to us. But we'll spend at least this good day on this wonderful topic, which will set the foundation for the rest of the retreat. All right. Ignatius says, man is created. I want to spend the rest of my conference just on that. Creation. Okay, for your biblical references, a biblical meditation, I always like to give a lot, and you take whatever you want. I have a tendency to give too much. I prefer to give too much rather than too little. Okay, I'll give you Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. There are two different versions of creation. Two different versions of creation. One chapter would be more than enough, but if you prefer to maybe go to chapter 2, okay, allow the Holy Spirit to move. You want to read both of them? Fine. See these exercises where there's a lot of freedom, okay? It's not a straitjacket, okay, but rather a lot of freedom. Freedom of the sons and daughters of God. A lot of freedom. All right. Now, in creation, try to understand this. Everything in the natural world was created by a loving Father because He loves you. Never forget that. Never forget that. Everything in this universe, everything in this cosmos, everything in this beautiful world, everything was created because God loves you infinitely. You could spend 2 hours just reflecting upon that. You could. That one idea, I could stop the conference now and you got the whole day to meditate just upon that. Good. Now the logical conclusion from that is the innate dignity of the human person. Wow. How important you are. The society denigrates the human person, right? And abortion and euthanasia, all that. It's the exact opposite of our world. K. Killing a little baby in the womb is the exact opposite, isn't it? No? You meditate upon this, how great we are. You'll be hearing me quoting very often St. Thomas Aquinas. He's the greatest theologian. Thomas Aquinas, you probably know, he took Aristotle. He basically baptized Aristotle. And Thomas Aquinas, using Aristotle on this idea of creation, speaks about what is called the ladder of perfection. The ladder of perfection, going from the most primal matter to the most sublime, which would be what? Matter exists, right? Aristotle uses the word mineral, okay, but matter exists. Prime matter, a rock. Rock is the lowest form of existence, but the rock is greater than non-existence. Because the rock exists. Non-existent doesn't exist. Okay, then you go a little bit higher. Aristotle, Aquinas, uses the word vegetable or a plant. Why is a plant more perfect than a stone? Because not only does a plant exist, but the plant has life. The plant has life. Is there something higher than a plant? Your pet parrot, Pete, right? Or Fido, your dog. Because not only is there existence, there's life, but also as those locomotion or movement. But then we enter into a much higher realm. That much higher realm is the human person. That's you, that's me. We are infinitely more sublime than any other created thing in the universe. Because one day, my friends, a rock is no longer going to exist. A plant will die and disappear. An animal will die and decompose. But even though your human body will die, the most noble part of your human person will not die. That means your soul will live for all eternity. Your soul is worth more than the whole created universe. Recently, this thought occurred to me. We all have to be born three times. You're looking at me with jaundiced eyes. We're born physically. We're baptized. Isn't that our second birth? John 3, what does Jesus say to Nicodemus? Unless man be born of water and the Spirit, can't enter the kingdom of heaven. How about this? When a saint dies, what happens? He's born into heaven. You like that? Yeah. Amen? The church teaches that. So the death of the saint is his birth into heaven for all eternity. We've got two of those births. Third one, we're on the way, right? We're on the way. So in all of creation, the most sublime, exalted part of creation in this world is a human person. We don't enter into the angelic realm or the Blessed Virgin or God Himself, but in this created world, we are the crown of creation. The apex, the zenith, okay? The high point of creation. For that reason, Pope Leo the Great, his Christmas homily, he says, Christians, recognize your dignity. Pope Leo the Great, you did a liturgy of the hours. On Christmas, you're going to hear the beautiful sermon of St. Leo the Great. Christians, recognize your dignity. Okay, one last idea. In creation, in creation, what element of creation lifts your mind, your heart, your soul to the Creator? Everything in nature. What thing in nature captivates you most? And is the ladder by which you can ascend to the Creator? There's so much out there. Because the beauty of creation is a reflection of the Creator behind the beauty of creation itself. So the beauty of creation is a mere pale reflection of the Creator. According to literary masters, what was the first poem in the Italian language? It was the Canticle of Sun, Canticle of Moon, by St. Francis. The first formal poem in Italian, no? In which St. Francis, what was he doing? Probably some of you have read that poem or maybe sung it, okay? But St. Francis is praising God by brother sun, brother moon, brother water. So maybe when you're taking a walk today, ask the Holy Spirit to open up your eyes to see the beauty of the Creator by the beauty of creation. Amen? Amen. Beg for that grace. And probably many of you have some preconceived ideas. I know what it is, but maybe it's going to be something a little bit different today. Because our God is very creative. You may notice something in creation that you never noticed before, and you are awestruck. You're dumbfounded. See how great God is. And you may end your prayers today by saying, the glory be to the Father. Or, if you like, you can praise God by praying the divine praises, which are, blessed be God. Blessed be His holy name. Blessed be Jesus Christ, true God and true man. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be His most sacred heart. Blessed be His most precious blood. Blessed be Jesus, the most holy sacrament, the altar. Blessed be the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete. Blessed be the great Mother of God, Mary most holy. Blessed be her holy Immaculate Conception. Blessed be her glorious Assumption. Blessed be the name of Mary, Virgin Mother. Blessed be God in His angels and in His saints. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.